Hello, and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today is day two with our special guest, Dr. Michael Brown. Our co-hosts today are Lori Crangle, Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Grace Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Pastor Jim Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker, and welcome to Grace Street. And we have with us the one and only Dr. Michael Brown is back with his brand new book, Revival or We Die.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough title.
I love it.
I'm just reading it, and it's Revival or We Die.
I love it.
From the heart, man. I wrote it from the heart.
It's a warning.
It's a warning and it's a promise.
Yeah.
And it speaks to us as a nation. Obviously, the Church of Jesus doesn't die, and individually we know the Lord. But as a nation, if the Church of America does not experience a sweeping revival, I don't know what will happen to the nation.
Wow. You said that you have spoken, 50 times in Dave Wilkerson's?
Yeah, about 50 times in
New
Times
York
Square Church.
Yeah. That's a lot of time.
And you know what was special there? And to this day, I know some of the pastoral leadership now, and the heart's the same. It was a place of incredible joy and worship, a place where Jesus was lifted up, and a place where the gospel was preached.
Amen.
The word of God was proclaimed. Although I had preached in a number of nations at that point, although I'd been in many, many wonderful special circles, every time I stood behind that pulpit, there was a special sense of sacredness to me. There was a special sense of this is holy ground. And that's how it always should be when we're ministering the word of God. Because look, people are looking to us to explain what God has said.
Yeah.
And there's a chapter in Revival or We Die about rediscovering the word of God. Remember, this happens with Josiah.
Yeah.
This young king is leading the nation in a reformation movement.
Wow.
He knows things are wrong, but he doesn't know how wrong until the Torah is rediscovered. And when they discover the book of the law in the temple, and then they begin to read it, and they get a word from the prophetess Huldah, they realize things are much worse than we knew. But God's purpose is not to condemn us or destroy us, but to turn us back. The reason that Jesus spoke what he spoke was not to condemn. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. So the reason for the warnings is because God would rather pour out mercy than judgment.
Amen.
But we must seek him. We must cry out to him. And where there's fertile ground, look, you can have water pour on concrete and it goes nowhere. It's just going to create puddles. But if you have dry ground, it drinks it in. So we've got to be that ground that drinks in the presence of God, that drinks in the word of God. And it says, God, however painful it is, speak the truth to us because we don't want to be deceived.
Amen.
How much has your Jewish background and your upbringing affected your ministry today?
Yeah, it's affected it in many ways. You know, when I first got saved and people in the church thought, oh, you're Jewish, you must know the Bible better. I really didn't, because I hadn't read the Bible growing up. I mean, I could tell you some of the things in the book of Revelation. They seem similar to stuff we used to hallucinate when we were high on LSD.
Yeah.
But I mean, I couldn't read Hebrew. I didn't know the Bible. But over the years, being Jewish has tied me in a certain way to the prophetic scriptures. And I read the New Testament as building on the old, and I don't separate them. So that means that the prophetic warnings from of old, I still have to take them seriously. And when I read the words of Jesus, Yeshua, I'm not reading them just like he's some 20th century reverend, but as a first century rabbi, there's a certain depth and sobriety that comes with it. Even the concept of the fear of the Lord doesn't mean that we're afraid, like, oh no, he's going to get us. It means that there's a holy reverence.
Yes, amen.
And so often God is trivialized today, even in our churches. You know, you could have a worship service, and it's the cool thing to do at the end of the worship set that the worship leader uses some mild profanity to show, hey, man, we're not religious here. We're free. And I'm thinking, where's the fear of God?
Yeah,
where's the
right.
reverence?
Yeah, yeah.
It's been lost. It was something at Times Square Church. There was always that great reverence for God in the midst of the worship. So let's rejoice. Let's jump and shout and sing. But let's remember it's the God of Israel we're talking about.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that we're going to go through times of persecution. And you talk about it in your book. How can we encourage one another to not fall away? The Bible says there will be a falling away. And I think there's already a falling away, mightily a falling away, in the United States of America, and I'm sure the whole world. So how can we encourage one another, and how can you encourage all of us watching today?
Yeah. We don't know if this is the last falling away, but it is a very severe period of falling away. Probably the worst I can remember in my life in the Lord, 50 years now. And we're seeing it all over America and really epidemic levels that has to wake us up and stir us. So the first thing is, now's the time to reexamine our foundations. Because if the foundations are sound, we're not going to fall. How strong is our personal relationship with God? How much are we living lives consecrated to God? That's foundation. But I just want to speak to our viewers. When it comes to persecution for the gospel, that's a badge of honor. This is what the church has suffered all around the world. And to this moment, our brothers and sisters are being persecuted, thrown in jail, tortured, killed for the faith. Don't get unnerved when someone unfriends you on Facebook. That's not the end of the world. Don't get unnerved when someone has a nasty comment that they post. Literally, believers are losing their heads for the gospel today, and we're afraid of losing a few friends on social media. So this is the time to realize when people oppose us, it's because they recognize we stand for Jesus, and that's a cause for rejoicing.
Amen.
The world is treating us the way they treated Jesus.
Wow.
Rather than causing us to draw back, that energizes me.
Yes.
That strengthens
Amen.
Me. And then when I stand, you stand.
Yeah.
When I see you stand, you stand.
Right.
So let's each say, let's take on a spirit of courage.
Yeah.
It's not time for cowardice. It's not time for cowering in a corner.
Yeah.
Time for courage.
Yeah. Amen.
Why does God allow the church to become corrupt and compromised?
Mm.
Because not all churches are on fire for God today.
Yeah. So obviously, God gives us free will and choice. So that's why throughout the New Testament, there are problems being dealt with. Moral compromise, theological error, spiritual pride. You know, Paul's, all the letters that deal with him. Jesus deals with it in the book of Revelation. So the bad news is, there is a lot of sickness in the body right now. There is a lot of corruption. There have been so many falls with leaders and different things. It's a painful time. But if we can get low, rather than strut, the last thing we need to be doing is strutting now. God gives grace to the humble. And the bad news is we're in a bad place. The good news is this is the time for revival.
Yeah,
this is the time when we finally recognize, we do have great needs. The world has changed the church more than the church has changed the world.
Wow.
So rather than boasting, let's fall on our faces and cry out.
Amen.
We can use this as a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block.
Yes, amen.
You write that when our eyes are open, we realize that we are far more sinful than we realized. At that point, are we hanging by a thread? This scares me that we're getting that far away.
Yeah. So think of someone like the prophet Isaiah. He goes into the temple to worship, and he sees God. He sees the Holy One of Israel. And as a result, what does he say? Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Maybe 2 minutes before that, he was feeling great about himself. Maybe compared to everybody else, he was a godly man. But in that holy presence, same with Job, he encounters God and says, I heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you and I repent in dust and ashes. Or Peter, when he's out on the boat with Jesus in Luke 5 and there's the miraculous catch of fish, he falls to his knees and says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. So God's holy presence, when he begins to come in revival, we've had pastors in the Brownsville days. They would bring their church people to the revival because their people needed God. And they were the pastor was the first one to respond to the altar call.
Amen.
And he'd tell us afterwards, I feel like I got saved all over again. But it's not because God wants to hurt us or scare us. It's because he wants to cleanse us. It's like a cancer patient when the doctor says, okay, we have a serious problem, but here's the solution. That's how it is with God. There is always a holy solution.
Yes, right. Amen.
Having the Word as our measuring rod, does that make our sinful actions worse?
Yeah. If we compare ourselves to ourselves, hey, yeah. I'm tall compared to you. If I compare myself to an NBA basketball center, I'm a little guy, right? So, hey, I may be holy compared to you. You may be holy compared to me, but that's not the standard. The standard is the Word of God. Hey, let's do something like the Sermon on the Mount and read the Sermon on the Mount and see how holy we are. But this is where grace kicks in. This is where we say, God, in myself I'm weak, but by your grace I can overcome. In myself I fall short, but yes. by your grace I can live a holy life. And we've seen it. We've seen God's transforming power. Yeah. So I tell people, hey, rather than line up all your excuses, be honest with God. I'm struggling here. I'm addicted to porn. I've got a terrible relationship with my wife. I scream and yell. I'm out of control. I've got this secret habit nobody knows about. Pastors, leaders, rather than just cover the thing up, be honest with God, because He knows anyway.
He knows, yeah.
And when we're honest, then He's got the solution with the cross, with His grace, yes. with the blood of Jesus. And that's why we see in revival sometimes very intense confession. I've seen it in meetings even in the last year or two. The end of the service, the conviction of sin is so intense that people literally get on the platform and take the mic and confess. I remember a boy, 11, 12 years old, getting up publicly at a service early last year, crying. He said, I've been so disrespectful to my mother and father. I can't believe I treated them. And they all hug him and they're loving him. And
right.
what he felt he had to do that because God was moving so deeply.
Yeah.
But it's like the refiner's fire.
Yeah.
That's why fire has been such a key word in my life for so many years. You throw the gold and silver in there. It looks good to start. But then when it gets in the fire, all the impurities come up.
Yeah.
And I was preaching at a church of maybe about 6,000 in California early last year, hungry for the Lord, reaching out to the lost. And I preached on the refiner's fire. And I preached on why revival can be uncomfortable because it brings up to the surface the sin, the problem, but so it can be skimmed off. I get back to my hotel room after the meeting. I'm on my knees praying. And suddenly I feel all this stuff. Where is this coming from? Selfishness, pride, ambition. I'm saying, Lord, is that me? Is that who I am? And I was, wait, I just preached on refiner's fire and all this junk that I didn't even know was there is coming up to the surface.
Amen.
God wants to skim it away so we can really shine.
Yeah,
that's His heart.
Wow.
You say in your book, if we're going to see true revival, then we'll have to recover or rediscover the gospel. Can you explain that?
So to the extent that we have deviated from preaching a biblical gospel, that we have deviated from preaching on who God is, who human beings are outside of Him, what it means to be saved. What are we being saved from? If we're so cool and everything's cool and God's cool with us, what do we need to be saved from? Why did Jesus hang on the cross? If our sin is so trivial, if as one social media star posted, Jesus would be honored to know your sins. I mean, it's not honored to know our sins. He died for our sins.
Wow.
Our sins are corrupt and ugly. So to the extent we've deviated from the gospel,
the
church has gotten unhealthy. To the gospel, the modern gospel is what's in it for me message. You know, decades ago, A.W. Tozer said that whereas the old cross killed the sinner, the modern cross redirects the sinner. And I thought, well, the contemporary cross empowers the sinner. Our gospel message is Jesus died so you could be a bigger and better you and fulfill your dreams and your goals. So it's all about me. And if I don't like it, then it can't be God. So we've had a church that's been very unhealthy. It's more like a church of spectators more than a church of disciples, consumers versus disciples. It's been more like we've trained people to be fans at a game rather than athletes on the field. When we get back to the real gospel, to the extent we do, people are going to be healthy. They're going to be strong. I felt the Holy Spirit shouting in my ears some weeks back, help get my church healthy.
Yeah,
that when the church is healthy and thrives, that's when victory comes. In fact, let me give you an insight from the Hebrew. We're used to Isaiah 10:27 being quoted, beautiful verse, the anointing breaks the yoke. The yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. Well, we know it's true. Jesus says the Spirit's on them to set the captives free. But the better way to understand that is that the yoke is broken because of fatness. What does it mean? You know, in the ancient world, a fat animal is a healthy animal, right? When the animal gets so healthy and strong, the yoke breaks. So God doesn't just want a temporary moment where you get set free. He wants you to be so healthy that bondages are broken, that habits for decades are broken, that bad patterns are broken. So that's the Word and the Spirit together. That's what we must have in revival. If it's all Word, no Spirit, people will be lifeless, condemned, hopeless, or intellectually proud. If it's all Spirit and no Word, they'll just kind of float away.
Yeah.
Word and Spirit together, yes. That's the key to
Amen.
Real revival.
Mm.
We have a clip here about the gospel revival and the founders. I want everybody to watch this, then I'll ask you to comment on it.
Montesquieu promoted moderation. Montesquieu didn't trust politicians. He believed power corrupted even good politicians. So he proposed checks and balances so that each branch was accountable to the other. Montesquieu said, "A constitution is needed to sustain liberty, but you need a certain civic virtue to maintain it." And the founders understood you needed citizens with a basic decency or good civic virtue to maintain good government. And since the driving motive for the American Revolution was liberty and the freedom of the church, the idea of a good people was to support a bottom-up government of good people versus a top-down forced morality. This is why revival in every generation and the church being salt and light is so critical. Let me just make this one side point here. America, in its founding documents, was designed for maximum liberty over good people with good civic virtue. We're a nation that depends on basic Judeo-Christian values to operate in that liberty. This is why America doesn't work with a godless population. If we want to fix America, then it's up to the church to bring revival to the streets. Does revival spark change government and society? Or does a free environment help spark revival? Obviously, the answer is yes. It's harder to have revival with government oppression, but it is possible. But revival always brings change in the society and the government. Good people will create good government. It's a bottom-up approach. You can't legislate morality, but you can change people's hearts and take moral stands for what's right. And I'll close with this thought. The philosopher's ideas based on biblical principles were enshrined by the founders in the virtual DNA of America. This is the godly heritage established for the freedom of the church and the base for the gospel, for the country that, as John Winthrop declared Jesus' words over, that we will be a city shining on a hill.
That's Gene Bailey, who had graduated from my college many, many years ago. He was in his teenage years when he started with me, and now he's there with
Kenneth Copeland,
and what's the name of that?
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint is this thing. Dr. Brown, why is our government trying to silence the voices of its people?
Yes, somehow, those of us who hold to biblical morality, and as was just said in this quote, and some of the founding fathers, one of them said that our Constitution was only established for religious and moral people.
Yes.
You know, just like you can't trust a six-year-old with something that you can trust a 20-year-old with, that the freedoms we have in America, the nature of the Constitution, nature of the government, presuppose not that there would be a national religion, absolutely not, but rather that the people would be a religious and moral people.
Yeah.
And if they followed biblical and Christian principles, then we could handle these freedoms. Well, now there's been a shift in thinking. And those of us who hold to these values personally and believe that to the extent we can live them out, it's for the best interest of America, we're looked at we're the bigots. We're the haters. We're the ones trying to steal someone else's liberty and freedom. Back in 2004, when God began to call me to address LGBT issues, the word he spoke to me was, reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. But I saw even then that this issue would be the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America. And in the same way, if we just hold to what we feel is a healthy education process, well, now we're the bigots. If we oppose this or that, if we have a different view about, okay, I understand this man identifies as a woman, but I'm not going to call him a woman, you get banned on social media. So things have gone to really unusual extremes. Look, We all want to see people healthy when it comes to COVID and issues like that and vaccines and stuff. But when we push back against a mandate, When we say, listen, let people work out what they feel is best and right to do in their own lives and be conscientious. But when we push back against the government mandate, now we're the bad ones. When parents at school board meetings get upset about a boy using a girl's bathroom and raping a girl in there, now we're called domestic terrorists because we're getting upset at school board meetings. So things have really shifted. In a way, I had a medical doctor, one of the top doctors in the nation on my radio show, voted doctor of the decade, and he said he was prescribing something for COVID, and now the pharmacies won't fill it anymore. I mean, he's a highly respected medical doctor, and he said that the pharmacy won't fill it. He says, this is unprecedented. He said, because every day doctors are making decisions with their patients, and they say, okay, this is best, and how it's going to work out, you know, we're going to see. But now the government's interfering, so it's a different situation. Instead of the government by the people and for the people, there seems to be somewhat of a tyranny. And when Christians push back, I'm not looking to start some civil war or anything like that. But when we just stand up for rights and freedoms, we become the enemy. It is a dangerous situation that we've not faced before.
Now, some of the great, great prophets that I trust believe we're going to have a civil war.
Yeah, so here's my heart. Here's my heart. Rather than urging everyone to go out and buy a gun and form a militia in your community, let's have revival.
Yeah.
Let's have awakening in the church. And look, so many Christians don't even vote, all right? And then so many don't even pray for revival. So you think of all of the things that could happen first to change America before it gets to, quote, a civil war. And look, I'm not a gun owner myself, but I understand the importance of the Second Amendment. I'm not downplaying that. I understand people getting nervous if they think the government's trying to take away personal, and I know where that can go in history. We understand that. But the fact of the matter is that we're not doing the thing that God first gave us to do, right? Which is pray and fast and seek his face and repent of our own sins and reach out in love to the communities around us. If we do that, we may see the most radical change we've ever seen. Or we may see a shift and then judgment fall. But all I know is we've got a lifeline now. We got to grab that lifeline from God while we have it.
Mondo, the recent election,
yes,
where one of the great states elected
Virginia,
not only a conservative governor, but a lieutenant governor, a black lieutenant governor,
and a Hispanic Cuban-American, attorney general.
Yeah.
And allegedly, I mean, this is the talking point, well, this guy only got in because it's white supremacists voting for him. Isn't it strange that white supremacists voted in the first ever black female with a statewide role and a Cuban-American for attorney general?
They called her a white supremacist.
Yeah.
And she's black.
Yes, exactly. But that's how things
are
turned.
Proud of it.
Yeah, turned completely upside down. Right, and right is wrong, and wrong is right. And those who are standing for the life of the baby in the womb, we're the evil people. Things really are upside down.
One of the points I wanted to make about that was, I don't remember the exact amount by which they won, but it was a few thousand votes, Mondo. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you remember?
Yes, several thousand.
Several thousand votes. Well, one big Christian church could sway an election. And I'm just saying, if God's people vote and God people, we've got to stand up for revival. You've got to stand up and do some things as well.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing, that I'm not looking to the government to save America, but I'm looking to the government to do what's right. So
to not
I'll vote
destroy
for,
America.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll look to the candidate that I think is best to do what they're supposed to do and let the church do what they're supposed to do. But if we can't even get out and vote, something that simple, we're not just, okay, it's one little thing in the larger scheme of things, but it makes a massive difference. So if I'm not going to vote, I can't complain about the outcome either.
Right.
So, you know, we spend 4 years bellyaching, getting upset. Let's do what we can do.
Amen.
For sure.
Amen.
In your book, you discuss the needs to return to our first love. Can someone in the church or part of a ministry lose their focus or passion for their first love?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There is no question about it. Look, Jesus speaks to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2. They were hardworking. They were orthodox in their doctrine. They had suffered and not lost hope. They had tried those who claimed to be apostles and were not. And yet Jesus says to them, yet I have this against you. You've left your first love. It can especially happen to those of us in ministry because we get so caught up doing the work of ministry that we become professional, that our prayer time, our time in the Word, it's all for the sake of ministry. And we just get so busy running our lives. And although we have everything at our fingertips digitally now, families are busier than they've ever been and people have less time. So it can happen to any of us. And that's what God wants more than anything is that intimate first love relationship. And what I found is so amazing is when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. So when you come under conviction and you realize, well, I've left my first love, that's God's love drawing you back. You take a step in that direction, and before you know it, you'll be changed. And you know, in my own life in ministry, and with my wife's encouragement, I now take basically one weekend a month, cut back on travel, even though when I travel and speak, it blessed people and brought in funds for our ministry. I'm basically taking one weekend a month just to get alone with God and pray. And I know if I don't do that, the busyness of life and the busyness of ministry can carry me away. And as my precious wife, Nancy's always telling me, there's more. You have to get to a place in God you've never been before. And the only way you can do it is taking extraordinary efforts and means to do it.
Dr. Brown, Amen. It seems like right. you so were good. Willing to sacrifice hanging out with friends for your passion for God. It reminds me of reading a book over the weekend. Kobe Bryant, to be the best, he had to sacrifice sleep. He said, I'm not going to sacrifice my family's time, my kids' time. I'm not going to go train during the time my kids need me the more. I'm not going to give up my time to go and, you know, play basketball and train when my wife needs me to hang out with her and have family time. He says, so I begin to ask myself, what can I sacrifice to become the best? He said, I'm going to sacrifice my sleep. So while everybody else is sleeping, I'm training. Here you're telling us you're sacrificing your time to get to know God even more. I mean, when you talk about some of the great men and women of God throughout history, they spent time with the Lord. They got to know Him in an intimate way, and no wonder revival broke when they began to preach.
Yeah, and those, trust me, when I'm alone praying, I'm convicted by the depth of their prayer and by the burden they carried. When I was a fairly new believer, saved about a year, I was so desperately hungry for God that I would spend at least 6 or 7 hours alone with God every day. Now remember, that's before cell phones, before cable TV, before PCs and tablets and all that. So when I mean alone with God, I mean alone with God, undistracted. I would pray at least 3 hours every day. I would read the Word 2 hours a day. I would memorize Scripture 1 hour a day. I used to memorize 20 verses a day without fail. And that laid the foundation for the rest of my life. But here's the best thing. I remember some nights all my friends were going out and doing something, hanging out, and I called this one, they had plans. I called this one, they had plans. I called that one, and I thought, I got nothing to do but just stay in my room all night. But I encountered God in such a beautiful way. When I'm going away for these weekends, I can't wait to get alone in the room to be with God. Yeah. And I mean, He is everything. Jesus is everything. Yeah. Knowing Him, making Him known, and that, you know, revival, it's for the church, yes, but it's reached for us personally, yes, individually. Yes. And even as the book ends, it's a personal call. It's a personal promise. It's a personal challenge.
Amen.
And I know this, while I'm praying for the nation, I'm praying for a region or a people, praying for my Jewish people, I know that if I as an individual coal can start to burn and start to get hotter and hotter, then the coal next to me, yes, that's going to start to burn. And yes, before you know it, there's going to be a fire burning.
Right. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Wow.
So good.
Wow.
On chapter 7 in your book, I hope you'll get the book. Have you ordered it yet? This is a great book from a man of God that you need to read now. And it's actually Set the Trumpet to Your Mouth is the title of which is the title of one of Dave Wilkerson's books that he wrote. And it says, in urgent times, critical times, we're living in desperate times. We're living in times when the watchman on the wall needs to sound the alarm, stir the people of God, warn and exhort, and call to action. Instead, so many of our churches, so many of our social media outlets, the watchmen themselves are slumbering and lulling the people to sleep. How then can we awaken a dying world? And you're saying the watchmen are sleeping. That's scary. It's not fun to be a watchman.
No, you don't want your words to come to pass. Your greatest fear or burden is that what you warn about is really true.
Yes.
And yet, if it's not true, then you're not hearing God. So you live with this tension. And, you know, when I started warning about certain critical issues in our society over 15 years ago, people thought, Mike, what are you doing? Friends of mine, you're getting off track. You're wasting your time. Why are you doing this? And I used to say to them, you know, I feel like an umbrella salesman in the desert. And you're asking me, why are you building new warehouses?
Yes.
And why are you producing
yes.
so many umbrellas? And I said, because a storm is coming. Yes. And now, figuratively speaking, we can't make the umbrellas fast enough. And look, aside from just warning the nation about the dire, difficult times that we live in, aside from that, what about the fact that our kids and grandkids are in school systems now, getting exposed to every kind of hostile agenda and being taught things that are just ugly and destructive and being confused about values? And there are even school administrators. I've seen videos where they're sitting to talk with their faculty in the school saying, yes, we differ with the parents. And if these things come up in school, we want to challenge what the parents believe. You know, the parents have somehow become the enemy. So we've got to sound the alarm, because this is the world in which our people live. There is a colleague of mine, an ex-gay man that did professional counseling, and he would help people struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction and things like that. And I said, there must be a lot of demand for your services, because a lot of churches, pastors don't quite know how to help people, and they feel they're in over their head, so they're going to refer them to someone like you. I said, what happens when you talk to the pastors? He said, oh, they tell me we don't have that problem in our church. So, you know, there's so much, there's porn addiction in the pulpit. You can't talk about that, right? You can't. So we've got so many critical needs, no fault divorce, just rampant, and on the list goes. And you know, just the sins in the church, forget the world, the sins in the church, we're not allowed to talk about them, which means we can't even help the people who are hurting and struggling. The moment we begin to speak, you find out it's like a hornet's nest, all the problems, the issues, and it's happened because we haven't been alert. And I know your average local pastor, they got a lot on their plate, right? They're dealing with so many issues and the budget and to care for, you know, they got the new children's pastor doing this and trying to expand this building to accommodate people, and you got to do the funerals as well as the marriages. So there's a lot of weight on pastoral ministry. I don't want to throw more weight as if you're all supposed to be David Wilkerson, you know, thundering the word, but there's got to be some warning. There's got to be some urgency. There have to be some seasons where you tackle the difficult issues. Here, we're in an election season. How do we handle that? How can we be gospel first without getting caught up in the elections? But then how can we not just drop out entirely? So the leaders have to lead the people, and the needs are great. We don't just need another pep talk.
Yeah,
we
right.
need the gospel.
That's right. Amen.
I know when Lori and I first were married, we would go out to preach. You remember, Mondo?
Oh,
you
yeah.
went with us to preach. And I would go to, you know, all kinds of churches, great churches. And Lori had had 5 abortions when she was a young girl. And so they would ask us not to preach on that. I mean, serious, almost every single church said, we don't have that in our church.
Wow.
And Lori said, because Lori had been with a group of ladies that were forming a group, and they would have help.
Yes, they had Morning to Joy, which was her ministry to help women who had gone through abortion.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they knew the facts.
That's right. Yep.
1 out of 4 women in the church had had an abortion in that audience. What was so surprising that after you finished speaking, the ladies will line up.
Yes.
And privately saying, you know, this, I'm talking about from 80-year-old to 20-year-olds,
yeah.
come in and confessing, crying about this issue.
And then on top of that,
yeah.
God led us to start praying for the men who had their babies
yes.
aborted.
Mm.
And that was the biggest shock of all.
And they would line up.
They would weep.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we haven't dealt with it.
Right, so we got all this pain. Bottled up,
lots
guilt,
of pain.
People living under it, but we can't address, we're not allowed to address
but
it.
Killing
it's taboo.
Millions of babies is a part of the American way. It's not apple pie anymore. Apple pie is too much fat in it or something. But you know what I mean. The American way is to murder our babies.
We have the current administration, when the Texas heartbeat bill was allowed to stand by the Supreme Court, the Department of Justice said we are suing the state of Texas.
That's right.
So the U.S. government that we fund with our tax dollars, right? Yeah. The U.S. government fighting the state of Texas because Texas is trying to save the lives of babies. Wow. It is a dire situation.
Yes.
And without awakening in the church, will only get worse.
And the thing is, the church is just rejoiced over the fact that Texas has basically almost outlawed abortion after so long, after the first few weeks. And so it should be rejoicing. And instead, our courts are taking on the state to try to stop it. They're still trying.
Yeah, ongoing. So that's why.
And that's why God's blessing is coming off from America. That's why these things are happening. God spoke to me over the last years. He cannot tolerate abortion. Babies are my creation. He said, I don't agree with abortion. I don't want abortion. I hate abortion. I give life, not death. You mentioned in your book, the need to speak the burden of God's heart.
Mm.
What do you believe God is anguished over right now in what you're
studying?
Yeah,
I mean, certainly the shedding of innocent blood is so high on the list of things that grieves God. And when we do feel the weight of it, it is overwhelming. It's terrifying when you think the judgment that we deserve, because we've done this in the light. We've done this in the full light with the church right here in America. I also believe that God is really grieved over the state of his body, that it's such an urgent, critical time, we can be indifferent, we could be cold, we could be caught up with our own ways. And look, I've said for decades that just take, say, no-fault divorce in the church, where it's like anything else, in and out, no big deal, no issue, that's done more to destroy marriage than all the gay activists put together. So I'm not, I speak about the cultural issues, but you know, if you have a relationship with your spouse, right? We're married, and what's going to grieve you if your spouse pulls away, if the relationship sours, if that person wants out? That's going to be your greatest burden. So I believe, as much as God is grieved over what's happening in America, the sin of America, He wants His bride back. He wants the devotion of His people. He wants us back in our first love, because that's what it's all about. So there's so much. The prophets were grieved. They would weep. They were broken. And I hope that some of that comes across in Revival or We Die, the depth of that burden. But it's not beyond our control. We can't stop all the abortions. We can't stop the madness, the violence, the murder, the drug addictions, the racial divisions. We can't just stop that and snap our fingers. But we can do something about our own relationship with God. And local churches can determine, we're going to make prayer for revival a central theme. We're going to educate people as to why we need revival. We're going to educate people as to what revival is, and we're going to cry out until revival comes.
Amen.
The action that I see still in America is from people who are believers. Mm. And that's why it's important. You girls are teaching your children.
Amen.
And we just had your two kids for the weekend at our house.
Yes.
And they sang songs for me.
I love it.
And all the Bible songs and stuff like that. And I love it, you know. Yeah. But we've got to know the Word. We've got this. The people who know the Word of God do the Word of God. Amen. What's happening is the coldness, the falling away. There will be falling away as far as they'll become cold. In your book, you said that being cool has somehow become the Christian idea, how that negatively impacting, the church. You quote David Wilkerson as saying, I see entertainment taking over the house of God, an obsession with entertainment in God's house, a hatred of correction and hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Why do you feel that is so powerful?
Yeah, it's even more so now that you have kind of the celebrity Christianity, that to follow Jesus means being cool and slick. And I don't mean that we have to be backward in our appearance or our style, But it's a lot about entertainment. It's a lot about popularity. You think of what Paul lived through and what Paul suffered. It was anything but popularity for the gospel. But with that, when our whole goal is to just have a feel-good service, to leave you with the warm fuzzies, as opposed to encounter God, and then you get up and speak the truth. You know, Paul makes clear that the word of God is not just for encouragement, but also for rebuke and correction, because those God loves, he corrects. But we don't want ears for that now. We just want to go to the doctor. Even when we're dying, he tells us everything's going to be fine. That's what we want, but it's destructive. And here's what I find fascinating, Jim. When you speak the truth these days and do it with love but without compromise, people come around and say, I want to hear that. I need to hear that. Yes, there are those that just want their ears tickled, but an increasing number of people want to know the truth, want to hear the truth, and they will appreciate it when you speak the truth in love. It may make them uncomfortable, but they know it's because you love me.
Amen. Amen. That's so true.
The Bible speaks so clearly, and this is something that I'm worried about, that we're to fear God and keep his commandments. You know, this is what is the duty of man to do, is to fear God, keep his commandments. But we're saying, oh, Jim Baker is preaching a fear gospel, you know, a gospel fear. Well, when the house is on fire, you try to wake somebody up to get them out. And the house is on fire, and we've got to wake people up.
Yeah, and these days, and it's been for many years, but it gets increasingly more, that the moment you speak about obedience, that's legalism. Yeah. That the moment you talk about service and surrender, that's just religion. And these things become dirty words. But again, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It remains the gospel. Be holy, God says, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. And yes, it's by the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus, but he actually changes us. He literally saves sinners, not just from hell, but from the power of sin. And we have people throughout the church and throughout America in deep bondage. I don't say that to criticize. I say that to say God comes to set the captives free.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Well, I want you to order his book. This is something that is so important for the growth of you and your family. And you can get one for $20. That includes shipping and handling. Or you can get three of them for a gift of $50, which includes shipping and handling. That's even a better deal.
Yes, that's right.
And then you have Baker's Dozens.
Yes, I've put together a Baker's Dozen, which is 13 of the books, and that's for a $165 donation to the ministry, and that also includes the shipping and handling.
This is life and death stuff.
Yes.
That
yes.
Michael Brown talks
yes.
about.
Well, and what I love is he's real. You know, and I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people who will be real with us, because what we are dealing with, it's real. It's something that every single one of us in our life, we know someone who's dealing, and these are topics that have to be discussed. And so that's what I applaud you for, is thank you for being real with us. We can take it. We want to hear the truth. We are thirsting and hungering for the truth that comes from the word. And so I just applaud you for that, Dr. Michael, is you're willing to speak on these social topics. We have to get to where the world is. And how are we going to show them the light if we don't know the word of God first? And that's what I feel you really help us understand. What is the mission? We are all crying out, Lord, we want to see revival. But first, it starts with getting back to the things of God. Fear the Lord. And you beautifully write about this. You're very raw. Honestly, in your book, you're raw. You write about your personal experiences and how the Lord has led you through difficult situations. But that's where we're all at. And so I hope that you will get this. Order this for someone. We all know someone in our life. They're searching. They want more. And I believe that this can be a book that can really help minister to them. So you can order one copy of Revival or We Die, A Great Awakening is Our Only Hope. And I love what you say here, on the brink of collapse, our nation's only hope is a visitation of God's power and presence. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. And that's amen. What this book's about.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
Order yours right now, please.
Yes.
And Christmas is not that far away. This
it's
would be
not.
A great book to
yes.
include.
Yes, amen.
And your Christmas giving. We're trying to get everybody to put Christ into Christmas.
Yes.
Now, last year, we helped develop some signs that we
did.
Put out. And I have to get mine out of the storage right now and put them up, because I always do mine early because I want people to say, who's that crazy guy down there?
I love
Christmas
it.
Too far ahead.
No.
You know, I'm not worried about, I don't want to be left behind. I want to be ahead
Amen.
Of things.
Amen.
But we got the signs over here in these.
We do, Dad. We have four different signs. And so as you can see on the screen, these are yard signs that you can put there in your yard, or you can put them in your window, however you'd like to decorate. But we have four different ones. Happy Birthday, Jesus, our favorite. Happy Birthday, Jesus. Keep Christ in Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season, and Christmas begins with Christ. And so there's these four different ones that you can select for a $25 love gift. You can choose one of the signs. Or if you'd like to order all four, which like you, Dad, you have them all out in your yard, all four, we've put together a special offer for an $85 love gift, and that includes shipping and handling. Each sign that you see there, they all come with the stand for your yard as well. So that's included when you order the Christmas yard signs right there.
Did you notice they all talk about Jesus?
They do. That's what it's all about. Amen. We have to point back. We have to point people back. And do you know how hard it is to find Christmas, Christ-centered Christmas
yes,
items? It is so you can't. You can hardly find it.
Eventually,
now.
It will be gone.
Yeah.
In fact, they tried to stop the stores from saying just a few years ago, Merry Christmas.
That's
Did you
right.
know that? They really said they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
In fact, we had one of the greeters that comes here a lot mm-hmm. and at one of the big department stores.
Yeah.
And she said they were told, you cannot say Merry mm-hmm. Christmas.
Yeah.
And that just got me upset.
That's right.
And
yes.
Enough other people got upset that we wrote and we spoke.
Amen. That's
and
right.
We got it stopped.
Yes. Yes, amen.
And that's why I believe God's people have got to stand up in these
yes,
last days.
Yes, amen.
Because it's getting worse and worse. When you've got political leaders that want communism mm-hmm. and want socialism in the United States of America, it's time to wake up.
Yes, it is. Amen. Yes, amen.
I hope it's not too late for America. Dr. Brown, what do you think?
It's urgent. It's not too late.
Yeah.
But if we just think, no big deal, everything's going to be okay,
yeah.
we could watch the nation collapse.
Wow. Yeah.
On the other hand, if we think, there's no hope, there's nothing we can do, we just throw in the towel.
Mondo, what do you think?
Yeah.
I want to, just while we're at this, we've been researching Noah. How come the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it's going to be when Jesus comes back?
So there are two ways of reading it. The one is that things will be just as evil as they were in the days of Noah.
Wow.
The other way is that people still were unaware. They still weren't listening. They still
wow.
weren't getting it. And suddenly
yeah.
the judgment came.
Well, they're not getting it.
Right. And so is it too late for America? No.
Amen.
But it could be too late if the church doesn't act.
Yes. Amen. Wow.
I've learned some information that I'm not going to share with you today, but I'll tell you what.
Can't
I've been,
do that to us.
I've been fighting this one, Mondo.
Mm.
And you're going to have to help me because I need the total research team on this.
Mm-hmm.
The information that's come to me is so shocking, but it's exactly what I've been teaching for 20 years.
Mm.
And I just want us to check out every verse of Scripture
mm-hmm.
and see if it's true.
Absolutely.
And so we'll bring that up next week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Christmas time. I want to keep Christ in
yes,
Christmas.
Amen. It's like our partners, they love it. It's like they
yes.
want, they're doing what we're all out to do, which is help our children know the reason for the season as well, which is Jesus Christ.
Maybe grandma even wants to play with this.
Yes.
This is David and Goliath.
That's right. This is 16
And teach it to
pieces.
Your grandchildren.
Yes. Well, what's awesome, Dad, is included in this is they actually receive the DVD, so the complete animated Superbug.
Yeah.
We all know Superbug. It's absolutely amazing. It literally brings the Bible to life. Your kids feel like they're right in the story, which I absolutely love.
So they get this.
So they got the DVD.
And the book. Where's
yes.
the book?
And then they also receive the book, which I was reading this one. I love when my little girl, she's like, Mom, read this to me. Read me a book. I'm like, okay, here we go. This is A Giant Adventure, David and Goliath. And so you'll see here each of the beautiful, vibrant colors. It all comes to life, but they receive the book. So it tells them the story of David and Goliath, along with the DVD and the toy playset right there.
Yeah, a complete set.
Yes.
For just $35.
$35.
A lot of people would pay that for the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's amazing.
Video.
Yes. This is an amazing, amazing offer. You can't go buy kids' toys. I mean, and honestly, I always tell people, I'm like, I don't want you to get my kids any toys. I want to get them things that will help their foundation in Christ. We have to remember what this time is all about. And so
this is probably the last day we'll be able to even offer this particular set.
Right. So this is our David and Goliath, a giant adventure super book, the book, the DVD, plus the toy set for a $35 love gift to the ministry. And that also includes the shipping and handling when you order this.
And we'll get it way before Christmas if you order now.
Yes, order now.
Before they sell us. Because they say a crisis is coming in shipping Christmas products out. And you have this picture.
Yes.
This is one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a Thomas Kincaid painting.
That's right.
We call it our chapel because it looks so much like Prayer Mountain Chapel here
look
on Prayer Mountain.
How beautiful that is.
And we have this at our house.
We do. Yes, we gifted this to Mom, and you can order it today for a donation of $35 to the ministry as well. And this actually has a certificate of authenticity on the back. This is hereby certified as a genuine Thomas Kincaid Studios product. It's beautiful fall canvas.
Yeah.
And we call it our prayer chapel.
Hand me the picture quickly.
Okay, there
We're
you go.
Running out of time. But you can see on the back is the certificate of authenticity with a kind of a silver genuine.
This looks like our land right now.
It
the beautiful
did. Oh, it's
fall
beautiful.
Colors.
But this is all wooden framed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's if you went to a
Thomas Kincaid
store, you would pay a lot more than this for it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so this, we call it Prayer Chapel on Prayer Mountain here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you'd like to have our Prayer Chapel on your wall, this is something that is very unique.
Yeah.
Beautiful and for a gift of just $35.
That's it. $35
and
love
that will
gift.
Help us stay on the
That's
air.
Right. All That's of right. anything that you order during this Christmas season. A few other items that we do have right here, the Peace on Earth. Right here, this is absolutely beautiful Peace on Earth lantern. And so you see, it's kind of hard on TV, but you can see there are, there's a light in there, the angel, Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus.
I want to tell you, when you get it, you're going to love it.
Yes.
And
you
will not be disappointed.
That's right. So this is the Peace on Earth lantern for a $35 love gift to the ministry.
It has snow in it.
Yes, it does.
And it has, it's lit.
Yes.
And it is so beautiful. Can you guys see it in the audience at all?
I know. It's
and
so
it,
beautiful.
It is really a beautiful piece. And we have just a few of these left. Peace on Earth lantern for a gift of $35, which supports the ministry.
Yes.
Every penny of this goes to the ministry.
That's right.
Little Lori, what do you have?
We have the Mary and Joseph on their way to Bethlehem statue for a donation of $35 to the ministry. This is a beautiful pregnant Mary. And you talked about this last time. You don't really see Mary
That's
pregnant
right.
in
I
a lot of
it.
Statues and things. So this is a beautiful piece. Also inspired by our Lori's house that Marisol talked about as well. Mm-hmm. So this is for a donation of $35 to the ministry.
I dare you to find that statue anywhere.
It's, you can't.
You can't.
It's beautiful.
It's right here at the Jim Baker Show.
That's
and remember,
right.
you can go online to our website, jimbakershow.com, and you can see all of the other products that we haven't had time to talk about as well.
Yeah.
Okay, how much is that?
$35 donation to the ministry.
Okay, and then you have
the
last day we'll
probably
be able to offer.
Probably the last day, Miracle on Prayer Mountain, our Prayer Mountain snow globe.
Snow
we
globe.
Have the snow in there. And also you twist it up, you wind it up, and it plays beautiful Christmas music along with the little horse
this
and buggy.
This may be the last time in history
it.
You'll be able to order that.
I know. And this is, for those of you who have been to our chapel, it literally is a replica. They created this special for the ministry. It's a replica of our Prayer Mountain Chapel here at Morningside. So it's a special gift as well.
Except we don't have horses and buggies going around.
Oh, yeah, we need horses and buggies.
It's like one day, though. You never know, Dad.
You never know.
You can believe for it. That's right. So this is a $35 love gift as well to the ministry. It also includes shipping and handling.
But just think of it as an offering.
Yes, that's right.
To help us stay on the air.
Yes.
And you're just going to get
a gift in return.
Yep. that you would pay more than that, I'm sure, store,
yes,
don't you think?
Absolutely, yes. Call us for any of the offers that we've mentioned today. You can call us at 1-888-988-1588. That's our toll-free number. Or go to the website, jimbakershow.com, and you can see a sneak peek of all the other products that we have available that we just don't ever have enough time to go over. We have some amazing products
all the Christmas
here at the
stuff
Jim Baker Show.
Is going to be sold out.
Yes.
Weeks
yes,
before Christmas.
That's right. And as they're sold out, we're just taking them off the air as we know them.
I would like to see everybody order all the signs today. And let's get them out in the yards early.
Yes, we have Happy Birthday,
I need a few
Jesus,
crazy Christians who
keep
would
Christ
put them in your
Christmas,
yard.
The Jesus is the reason for the season, or Christmas begins with Christ.
And you so get all four of them for
$85. That's right,
$85. So that's with the stand that sticks into your grass. And you can get all four of them for $85 or one for what?
One for $25 love gift to the ministry, and that includes shipping and handling as well.
Okay, so they're going to be gone, I'll tell you that, because there's just such a small amount left that we had. And Mondo, do you have the...
I got the nativity scene.
Nativity left?
Yes,
this nativity scene is for a donation of $55 to the ministry, handcrafted and hand-painted. This nativity scene is the perfect gift for you. I love this. It's petite, small. Put it in someone's bedroom or even living room. This is the perfect gift for this season.
Lori and I want everybody to have at least one manger scene. We probably have 20 of them in our house.
Yes, you do.
Because we believe in this. This one back here is one of my favorite that we have on the set here.
Yes.
I love
beautiful
manger scene.
Yes, we do.
And that,
that's
that to
right
me means Christmas.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our time's gone. I got a minute left. Dr. Brown, what does revival fire look like? You talked about revival fire before.
Yeah, it is a season of unusual divine visitation when God comes in exceptional power and presence, when the fire of conviction and the fire of love and the fire of repentance burns, and out of it, we encounter God in such a way that we are dramatically changed, and then we go and change the world around us.
Amen.
Revival in the church leads to awakening in the society.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Order Dr. Michael Brown's new book, Revival or We Die. You need this book. It is really good.
Yes,
it's
it
powerful.
Is. That's right.
And it's exciting.
Yes.
Our time's gone for today. We have to go. Dr. Brown, thank you for flying in to be with us. We appreciate it so very, very much. Don't miss all the shows coming up. We have a lineup of the guests that are impacting the world.
Amen.
And God is bringing them right here to this stage.
Amen.
So God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.